Hi folks, it's Andy, the analytical preacher. A frequent objection I hear when someone is presented with the gospel message, presented with Christianity, and they're struggling to accept it, they're struggling with their religious beliefs. A frequent objection I hear is that they say, you know, it really just depends on where people are born. It depends on where people are living currently as to what religion they choose to follow. And so I'm not sure I believe that there's this overwhelming evidence or there's this really persuasive idea or argument for one particular religion over the other. And they'll say things such as, had I been born in India, there would be someone trying to convince me that I needed to be a Hindu had I been born, or if I were living currently in certain, say, Asian countries, there would be individuals trying to convince me to follow Buddhism and things like that. And so just because I live in America, I'm being presented with Christianity, but I'm not sure that that's a valid reason to follow Christianity. But I don't think that rule, I don't think that idea is nearly as hard and fast. It's not as hard a fact as people seem to think that it is. If we look across not just geography in this current moment, but if we look across both geography and time, we see a radically different picture of Christianity, of the gospel message. As Jesus had told his disciples, when I go back to heaven, he said, begin proclaiming the gospel message, repentance for the forgiveness of sins in my name, he said. Begin proclaiming the gospel message in Jerusalem, in the region of Judea, where you are right now, and then take it out first to Samaria and then on and on out farther and farther into the world. That's exactly what the apostles did. They started in Jerusalem in what would be modern day Israel, and relatively quickly, in a few decades, had gone to Samaria and then into places such as the modern day countries of Lebanon, Egypt, Turkey, Greece, Italy, for example. So within a few decades, maybe 100 years or so, the gospel message had been taken to all of these places. In fact, we see the letters that Paul wrote to churches in the city of Corinth and Thessalonica, to churches in the region of Galatia, we see Jesus wrote or had dictated 7 letters to 7 different churches in those first couple of chapters in the book of Revelation. And if you look at the churches that Paul was writing to, or the churches that Jesus was writing to, These churches were in places like modern-day Greece and modern-day Turkey. And so some of the places that we don't necessarily associate with Christianity today, places like Israel, Egypt, Turkey, Lebanon, Syria, those were the places that initially were the seedbeds. They were the hotbeds of Christianity. Another century or two later, across what today would be the modern Middle East, we saw Christianity spread. We saw the gospel message begin to catch fire. What had happened a couple of 100 years before Jesus had come, 500, 600 years actually before Jesus had come, a number of Jewish exiles had been taken captivity, first to Babylon under the Babylonian Empire. And then when the Persians overtook the Babylonians, a number of those individuals end up in the Persian Empire. And because of the influence of all of these Jewish individuals living and practicing Judaism in these places, there began to be what are called God-fearers, which was individuals very interested in the one God of the Old Testament and what he could do and the stories they had heard about this one God. They had failed to completely convert, or decided not to completely convert, to Judaism involving the circumcision and all of those things. But they still had an interest in the God of the Old Testament. They believed and prayed to, in some cases, even asked for sacrifices to the God of the Old Testament. They were called God-fearers. And so when the gospel message began to spread, these God-fearers, of course, were a natural target. They were a an obvious target that you would go to if you believe in that God of the Old Testament and you understand the concepts there. This is how this Jesus of Nazareth has fulfilled and accomplished that Old Testament and sort of brought in the end time church, if you will. And so because there were all of these God-fearers scattered everywhere from what today would be modern Iraq all the way through at least what would be modern Iran, the Middle East itself became a hotbed. It caught on fire with the gospel message for a few centuries after the early church had been in Greece and Turkey and Italy and Egypt and Lebanon and Israel. Then you go a few hundred years more, maybe 1,000 years more, and the gospel began to move into mainland Europe, into Great Britain, into India and beyond into other places. And again, in each of these places, the gospel would catch hold. There would be conversions. There would be revivals. There would be growth of the church. And then in some places, that would wane, but you would see the gospel catch in other places. And so eventually you had places like the Netherlands and England. They became Christian countries. Christianity was their official religions. People practiced the faith. And as importantly, they sent missionaries of the gospel from these countries, England, Netherlands, etc. They sent missionaries from those countries out into the rest of the world. And so again, for hundreds of years, you've got this religion and this mission work being done by the English and by the Dutch. You go forward another few hundred years, and the United States and Australia, they become heavily Christian countries. And at some point, they began to send the overwhelming majority of missionaries out into the world. But today, if you look at surveys of what is your religious affiliation, are you a practicer of a certain religion? If you look at those surveys today, in places like America and Canada, the fastest growing component on those surveys is the none or the unaffiliated category. So in other words, in America, the fastest growing category of what religion are you affiliated with is none, or I am not affiliated with any religion. I do not practice or follow any religion. Atheism isn't increasing all that fast, but agnosticism is. I am agnostic. I don't hold a belief that there is definitely a God or that there definitely is not a God. And so America, for a while, was this Christian-like country that sent the overwhelming majority of missionaries into the world. That has begun to recede. And if you look at those same surveys done on an international level, we see that the fastest growing Christian populations in the world right now are in places such as China, Iran, and certain sub-Saharan African countries. So that's important for us to understand. It's not just, well, if I'm born in America, if I'm born in England, if I'm born in New Zealand, if I'm born in Germany, I might face this, but if I'm born elsewhere, I might not. That's just no longer true. Christianity is growing by millions and millions in China and by hundreds of thousands on top of hundreds of thousands in places like Iran and by millions and millions of people across a half a dozen or a dozen countries in sub-Saharan Africa. And in fact, most missionaries today, those who not only are practicing religion, but they're so on fire for their religion that they're sending missionaries to preach the gospel in other places in the world. The majority of missionaries no longer come from places like the United States or Australia or Great Britain. In fact, they are being sent in much greater numbers now from countries such as Brazil and South Korea. So when we back up and take a firm, longer overview, we see that the gospel message has in fact been preached in almost every place around the world in different times, in different ways. It's been preached, and in almost everywhere the gospel message has been preached, it has caught fire. It has converted individuals, but these things happen in waves in different geographies at different times. You get conversions, then it dies off. Then you get a revival among the believers. They begin to witness to their neighbors. They catch on fire. They begin to send missionaries to foreign countries. Then individuals in those foreign countries, they catch the fire again. They convert. They have a wave. They have a revival. They begin to talk to their neighbors. Those individuals get on fire. Then that country sends missionaries out to further countries still. And so when we see it that way, we see the religion that we practice isn't really just dependent on where we were born or where we're currently living. If we look across time and space, we see the gospel message has always caught traction where it has gone, but it does go different places and have different success at different times. But I will definitely say this. The gospel message today still has the power to convict the human heart. The gospel message that we know we are not right with our Creator, and that Creator, the God of the Bible, loved us so much, He sent His Son to become human, to show us the way, to perfectly accomplish all the Old Testament laws, so that He was an acceptable sacrifice and payment for our sins. That gospel message that God loved us and sent His Son to pay our sin debt so that we can be reconnected with our Creator. That gospel message still has the power to convict our hearts, to say to us, that's what's missing. That's what I know has been wrong in my life. And I now feel the need to turn back to that God, to accept the payment of His Son for myself. That same gospel message that has the power to convict has the power to save us. That same gospel message has the power to change lives. And everywhere that the gospel message is being preached today, whether it's by a missionary from Brazil, whether it's by a missionary from South Korea, or whether it's an underground church in China, or from a persecuted Christian in Iran, or whether it's someone who's caught fire for their faith in Zimbabwe. That gospel message still has the power to convict, to save our souls, and to change our everyday life. And as lives begin to change in these places where Christianity is growing the fastest, you will see those communities and eventually even states and countries begin to change as well. Because though the gospel message comes and goes in different geographies at different times, it is still the most powerful, moving force, belief, ideology that has ever existed. And the gospel message, whether you live in a Christian country today, a country that used to be Christian 1,000 years ago, or a country that initially heard the Christian message 2,000 years ago, the gospel message still has the power to convict, to save, and to radically change lives. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, this is Andy.